Hey there, welcome to The Honest MD. I'm your host, Kelly, from Hey Kelly Ellen. Tune in every week for solo episodes and conversations with leaders in medicine all about navigating pre-med life, medical school, residency, medical careers, and more. But that's not all. We are all about being honest here. I'm going to be sharing the ups and downs of life both inside and outside of medicine. Because we all know that while we love medicine, it is not our whole life, and we are so much more than our careers. So make sure you're ready to learn. Let's dive in. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of The Honest MD. I'm actually really, really excited about today's topic because this is one of those topics that I get asked about constantly on my Instagram, on my TikTok. I literally understand the stress that people have when it comes to trying to get research as a pre-med. And today we are going to be diving in on how to get research as a pre-med. So before I give the general tips and tricks, I want to tell you a little bit about my kind of research experience as a pre-med, and maybe telling my story will inspire something in you. So I went to UCLA for undergrad, and I knew in order to be a good little pre-med, I had to do research and get that on my application. And I really encourage other pre-meds the same, I did the same thing that I encourage other pre-meds to do, which is don't feel like you need to start getting research like freshman year, like right when you like start classes and like join, because you're just figuring out college when you start, and you're figuring out how to live away from home, how to live in the dorms, stuff like that. And I think that it's important to focus first on getting good grades and learning how to study. And then once you kind of have that mastered, then you can look to branching out and getting research that way. So I think something else that's really important is that once you do decide to get that you do want to get research, understand that it's going to be maybe it's probably going to take you a few months to actually get it. Like, don't just decide like, oh, I'm going to get research, and then expect that the next week you're going to get into a research lab. No, that's not usually how it works. So at UCLA, I decided to start doing research around my sophomore year, if I'm remembering my timeline correctly. And the way that I found it is one of my tips is I just emailed professors in the department that I was majoring in and tried to look to see if there were any open research opportunities that I could join. So I ended up finding a muscle physiology lab, and we did research all about muscle physiology on frogs. And it was a good introduction to research in general and doing wet lab research, because aside from just high school, I have never worked in a lab before or had done research. So it was a good introduction to that. I personally discovered that I'm not really a huge fan of wet lab research in general. It was a lot of the typical lab coat. You go in, dissect the muscle out of the frog, and then lots of mixing drugs and pipetting and studying electrophysiology, stuff like that. So that was not the thing I was most interested in necessarily, but again, it was good to have that background just to learn what research was like. And also another benefit was that I think my senior year I did this at UCLA, you could use your research as class credit. So I remember I did this for I think 2 or 3 quarters, and you had to write a paper for the class, but you could also get graded with the class. So that was really nice because it was my PI who was grading me, so I felt confident that they would give me a good grade, hopefully, and it also helps boost your science GPA as well. Don't know if every undergrad has this set up, but if you haven't looked into that already, you should see if your college has that because that is nice to get a little boost in your science GPA for something that you're probably already doing. Anyways, so I did that in college, and then when I did my gap years, it wasn't till kind of the end of my gap years when I thought, I was already doing clinical experience and I was doing for the MCAT and stuff like that. And I just, being a typical pre-med, I just thought I should add on more to my plate. And I simply just Googled research labs in the city that I lived in. And I found one, a research lab near me, and I saw that they had a volunteer program. And I emailed the person on the website and I said, "Hello, I'm a pre-med, please accept me." Not like that, but essentially. And I was accepted to the program, and that was. We were studying, I remember, migraine research, and it was on rats, which I really don't like rats. I learned very quickly it was not super fun to be around rats all the time. But again, it is the point of doing research before medical school is getting those skills to have clinic or to have like being able to analyze a research study and actually understand kind of the methodologies of different research projects. So that is kind of the benefit of it. And again, it does kind of suck when you're doing it all for free and you're basically working a part-time job, but it's for free because I remember at UCLA, I did it 2 to 3 times a week, and it was a lot of work, and I was not getting paid at all for it. So, if you can find a paid position, even better for. Are you a pre-medical student struggling with writing a personal statement? Having the worst writer's block and don't know where to start? Want to make sure you write a personal statement that stands out? I have great news for you. My own personal statement landed me 8 medical school interviews, and I put all my knowledge into a free training all about how to write a unique medical school personal statement. Head to my website, www.heykellyellen.com, and click on the words free personal statement training to watch the video today. It's free, so what are you waiting for? Okay, so we covered my journey a little bit about my background in research, at least as a pre-med. I also did research in medical school as well, but that was clinical research, and I enjoyed that a lot more actually. Which is good because it's good to try different things and see what you like, right? So let's talk about how to get research as a pre-med. So I think one of the best ways to approach this at first is simply to ask older pre-meds what research labs they work in and if there are any like openings that you can hop in on, because sometimes the research labs are just simply like full, like they already have students and there's really no point in reaching out to a PI if they don't really need you. So if you ask older pre-meds, hey, do you do research? And what do you study? And also, are you guys looking for an extra research assistant? That's a great way to go about it. And then the second way is like, if they're gonna be a senior and they're gonna be graduating next year, why not slide in? Slide into the DMs. No, just slide into the position when they leave, right? And let's be honest, I think most people want to hire someone where they can have a recommendation from someone they know rather than a stranger. So you could have the person who's graduating refer you to the lab. And I think that is just pretty much. That would be the ideal way to get a research position. And if you time it correctly, they could even train you before they leave and graduate, which is really nice so that you're not entering into a new situation where you are learning from scratch. So, basically, to sum up my first piece of advice, it is networking, right? Like, ask people who were in your shoes a year ago what they did at your school. Because again, I can give advice in like general advice, but I didn't go to your undergrad necessarily, so I don't really know what the landscape is there. So ask people who were you a year ago in or 3 years ago or whatever, and try to get those connections that way. And also it's a good way to see like what the labs are like. Like maybe they'll say, yeah, I do work at this lab, but it's miserable. Like, I don't like it. I don't like the PI. And you'll know maybe to avoid that lab, right? So, I think a good way to find older pre-meds is through a pre-med club or even through just a general club where there's pre-meds. Like, I remember I did like a camp club at my school, and there were pre-meds in that. I was in a sorority, and there were several pre-meds in my sorority as well. So, I think using your resources and asking is never gonna hurt you. I really like, trust me, it's hard to put myself out there, but you gotta do it. Okay, the second thing that I would recommend is that several universities have clubs that are actually focused on research, and the research basically is part of being in the club. And I don't know, again, if this is unique to UCLA, but I know at UCLA, like a club that I applied for and didn't get, but that's another story. Is the there's like something called like the stroke team. And I remember like you had to, apply to join the club, and then you would be automatically kind of doing clinical research. Just by virtue of the fact that you were a member of the club, they kind of like set it up for you. So that's really nice because it pretty much like guarantees you research experience. And a lot of the clubs that were like that at UCLA were also clinical experience, which personally I enjoy a lot more than wet lab research. So that is also a thing that you can do. And I also want to have just a little side note here that people ask me, does it matter if I do wet lab or clinical research? No, it does not matter. Sometimes people ask me, does it matter if it's like psychology research? It doesn't matter. The only thing that I would say might matter is if you're doing like research in the humanities, like an English project or like history, like by all means do it because that's so cool and you should do what you love and not just like what you think an admissions committee is gonna like because Let's not let our lives be dictated by that. But I don't think that it would be viewed necessarily as like scientific research if it's like in the humanities. So I hope that makes sense. Okay. The next piece of advice that I have for how to get research as a pre-med is to use your TAs. So your TAs are typically graduate students who are, supervising your general biology or upper division biology classes, and they are doing that like on the side, right? Like that's kind of like their side gig. And their main thing is that they're in a research lab working on their thesis for their PhD or their master's. And that means that they have a lab, right? That's ding, ding, ding. That's what we care about. So if you have a TA you really get along with, who you think could be someone who could advocate for you for a position, ask them. I mean, don't be weird about it, but just ask them maybe towards the end of the semester if you feel like you built a good relationship with them. Go to their office hours and ask them and be genuine. Don't just expect something from someone if you haven't like put in time into the relationship, obviously. But again, it doesn't hurt to ask, and I do think that is a really good avenue to explore. Again, remember that you'd want to ask a TA who's in a class that would make sense for the research. So if you're not necessarily interested in like chemistry, maybe like don't ask your chemistry TA about their research lab because it's probably focused on chemistry. But if you love chemistry, then do it. Okay, the next piece of advice that I have about getting research as a pre-med, this one's going to be fast. Basically, send emails, right? This is honestly one of the most common ways that I think a lot of pre-meds get research, including myself, is look at the department that your major is in. For me, it was the physiology department. Pull it up on Google and see who, like what professors are on the website. And then Google the professor's name and then put lab afterwards and then find their lab website and then read about it. See if there's any open research positions, find their email and send a cold email. And again, I want to be honest, it's not going to be like, you do it once and you're gonna get a yes, and then you're gonna be done. Like, you're probably gonna have to send several emails before you even get a response. So, that's part of being pre-med, right? You gotta just hustle a little bit. So, that is something that I think people like sometimes feel awkward about because they're like, I don't wanna send a cold email to someone I don't know at all. Like, are they gonna think it's weird? I promise you are in the majority here. Like, this is what pre-meds do. Like, they cold email, they try to find research positions and open positions in their school. So if you're not doing it, you're getting left behind, let's be honest. Okay. I made $20,000 my first year as a part-time influencer and full-time medical student. I honestly had no idea how lucrative a career in influencing could be until I started. If you have dreams of having a side hustle as an influencer, you should check out my ebook, The Part-Time Influencer. We cover how to start an account, how to grow a following, and most importantly, how to work with brands and make money. Head to www.heykellyellen.com and click on the Part-Time Influencer ebook in the top banner. I'm so excited for you to get started. So, another thing that I think is a great opportunity that a lot of pre-meds don't do And the next piece of advice I have is to actually look into established summer research programs. So a lot of universities have this where they have like a 12-week program, and sometimes they pay you even, and sometimes you have to pay for it, and they give you like room and board, and they literally like put you with a lab, so you do like you don't have to do any of that work. And then at the end, they have a poster presentation and want you to present. So it's like perfect because that's something that you can put on your med school app, right? So again, this is something that you're gonna have to do some research on and actually like Google like pre-med summer research programs and see what colleges or universities are offering it. Like, honestly, you might not even realize that your own college is offering it until you look for it, or maybe a college like near your hometown. And that is a really nice way to get research done and on your app because you don't have to balance it with classes, right? That's so nice to just focus on something without having to worry about classes at the same time. And often these research programs are very prestigious. Like, I'm not gonna lie, like they're competitive. I never applied for them, but I've heard they are very competitive. So if you get into one, like that's gonna make you look really good to the admissions committee and make you stand out. So it's definitely something to consider and something to look into 1,000%. Okay. And then the kind of the last tip that I have for how to get research as a pre-med is clinical research jobs. So this advice might pertain more to a gap year position because a lot of clinical research coordinator jobs are full-time, and obviously you can't have a full-time job and be in school full-time. So a lot of people, like when they get to the end of medical, or sorry, the end of undergrad, and they haven't had any research on their app, and maybe they haven't even had any clinical experience on their app. And you're looking, you're like, what am I gonna do during this gap year? A clinical research coordinator is actually a really awesome job that you could do because you're also, not only are you getting research experience, but you're also getting clinical experience. So you're kind of killing like two birds with one stone, right? So essentially, in this role, you would be in charge of like running clinical trials at hospitals and interviewing patients, recruiting patients to the clinical trial, stuff like that. So it seems really interesting and fun. Like, I think I would enjoy that job. Never did it, but I applied to some and interviewed for some, but decided to do something else. So I think that is a really good opportunity to do during a gap year. And again, like these jobs are competitive, so it's gonna be one of those things where you're gonna have to apply for a lot of jobs until you find your home, right? Okay. So now that I kind of talked about my tips about how to get research as a pre-med, I want to talk a little bit about like maybe you found a lab and you're going to interview for them and they want a resume or something. And I know a lot of people like stress about this part, so I kind of want to touch on that. So I just want to reassure you that when you're coming into college and trying to find a research position, the PIs know that you're a beginner and you're learning, and they're not expecting you to have like cured cancer, right? They don't expect that to be on your resume. But something that I think is good to put on a resume or a cover letter when you're trying to like apply for these jobs is any type of research you've ever done. Like, even if it's in high school, like a literal like required high school class lab that you had where you like did chemistry, like a chemistry lab, like as part of your class, like an AP Chem or something. Like, put the types of experiments that you did or the actual like research skills that you did. Like, you did like gel electrophoresis, like that's research. Like, put it on your application so that it looks like you have something and you're not like completely new at it. And again, it's all about like how you market yourself and how you can make yourself like stand out from the crowd. And of course, like if you actually did research in high school, which is like really impressive, then you definitely should put that on your application or like in your email. Something else that you can put in your email is something that shows that you like did your homework, right? So when you're finding professors' emails and trying to like see if they have open positions, I would highly recommend looking at their lab website, which I said before, and then reading about what type of projects they do, or like if they recently published a paper. Read the paper, read at least read the abstract of it. And in your email, you could put like, I recently read your paper, blah, 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 and I found this topic like very interesting, or like I want to be a cardiologist like in the future, and I really enjoyed reading your topic, your research paper about cardiology, blah, 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 right? Like, you gotta put in the extra effort and put in the extra step, because no one likes like a general cold email that has like, it sounds like you emailed it to like a million people, right? You need to actually like show research lab that you are interested in them beyond just like finding their email, right? So I definitely think that is something really important. And then when you actually do the interview, I do think it's important to talk like very honestly about what the hours and what the commitment will be like, because again, you're going to be balancing this with school most likely. And some PIs, they expect you to work a lot more than you might have time for. So I would just be like, ask them like, how much time do I have to spend doing this lab? Like, is it gonna be like 3 to 4 times a week? Like, that's too much time, right? Like, I think what's reasonable is maybe like one to two times a week, maybe building up over time. I mean, if you're getting paid, then sure, maybe do it more, but I do think that's important. And then another thing that I think is important is asking about kind of like the training period that they have, because I think a lot of research labs, they either just hire you and just kind of expect you to like clean their equipment and then say like, "Oh, you're a lab assistant," but like really like you're not doing any research. Or they actually let you do research, but they kind of like throw you into the fire and there's no training period. That's not funny either, right? So ask them about the training period, who would be training you, and how long it is for, so that you can feel supported in the lab. And definitely try to get a sense of like the lab's vibe and how the community feel of it and how well everyone gets along, because you kind of are interviewing for a job, even though you're not getting paid. It is kind of like a job. So you want to make sure that the people that you're working with are people that you get along with and vibe with. Anyways, that sums up my episode about how to get research as a pre-med. I think I hit all of the common questions that I get, and I really am hoping that everyone finds the research lab of their dreams. Thanks for listening. And now for my favorite part of the episode, where I sit down with my boyfriend, Jarrett, and we talk about topics that you want us to cover as a couple in medicine.
Hey.
Welcome to a very unstructured episode
of
Jared and Kelly's
After
Podcast Talk Show. Dun, dun, dun.
You just listened to me rant about research.
Yeah, it's a lot of research.
For a long time, so.
I mean, research is everywhere. It's in nursing school, too. We have a whole research class and everything, too. You learn how to write your research papers and how to do the research, and Wikipedia is not a great site to use, blah blah blah.
No, this episode was more about like finding research to do like in undergrad.
I know that I listened. I didn't listen.
You edit the podcast, so you're going to have to listen to a little bit of it.
It might help.
Please
listen. I'll listen to you talk all day and now I got to do it.
I'm just kidding.
Enjoy.
I'm just kidding.
It's a joy to listen to me talk.
Yeah, you've never gotten mean comments about how raspy your voice is.
Oh my God. Okay, the first time. Lord. The first time. Okay, this is on Instagram, actually.
Oh, it was on Instagram, yeah.
It was on Instagram, and it was right when Reels came out. And this was when Reels were, like, just getting pushed out because it was a new feature. So I made a reel and I did a voiceover like in my horrible like iPhone speaker. Like,
yeah, you must have had the speaker like inside.
I did. It was like up to my, it was literally up to my like lips. It was bad. So I did a voiceover for the reel expecting it to reach like 5,000 people. It went completely viral. Like, it was the first time I ever hit like a million views on a video, which is just crazy to think about.
And it's always the ones you put so little effort
it
on.
It was like not what I was expecting, obviously. The comments that I got were not about the content in the video or saying I looked ugly or something. No. People were being so mean about my voice. And they're like, I cannot with her voice. It is horrible to listen to.
She's been smoking for 30 years.
Yeah, like that. And I'm like, my voice doesn't sound like that. It's just because I was so close to the microphone when I was talking.
You didn't sound like this.
No.
What are they selling? Chocolate.
SpongeBob.
SpongeBob reference, yes. SpongeBob. You got the reference. I'm so proud. She doesn't get my SpongeBob references.
I watch SpongeBob like occasionally.
She was a Disney Channel kid. I was Nickelodeon, Cartoon Network.
Yeah.
And a lot of it. But
I was like,
I was raised on TV quite a bit. You lived under a rock. She didn't get any of my references.
Mm-mm. TV was like a special like privilege on the weekend. Ooh. You could watch TV during the weekday?
Every day. Every morning was, you know, where's Carmen Sandiego? Before school?
Yeah.
So much.
It's the only cartoon that was on that
right
outside.
Now. I'm learning so much about you. No.
Carmen Sandiego's technically an educational show. You learn about the world. You do.
No.
It's definitely like more educational than the shows I'm watching now. Like, you know, I've been binging on some Survivor.
Yeah.
And, you know, my favorite thing about that is as the show goes on, the more desperate these people become, the worse the rewards become, but the people act like the rewards are so much better. Like, the first reward they fight for, it's like a helicopter tour, the island, or they're going to, like, an all-inclusive spa for the day with a huge, like, meal and pizzas and burgers. And by the end, you know, they might have, like, a little picnic, or he's like, you're playing for a reward today. You want to know what reward is? Today's reward is a Wendy's 4 for $4. And everybody's just like, oh, 4 for $4. And it's like, you get to choose your 4. Now, the nuggets and the fries, they are standard. But your drink and your sandwich, that's your choice. And they're like, oh, God, civilization, 4 for $4. They go crazy about it, and it's wonderful. Also, if they ever have, like, the ones that have, like, bidding, those are good ones.
Yeah.
You don't know what you're bidding for, and people are, like, dropping all their cash on it. It's great.
No, it is funny because they've never... Well, I don't know if they have done the Wendy's 4 for $4, but like,
no, they have not.
But
done
I don't
the
think
Wendy's
they have. I'm just saying, I don't think they
Survivor,
have.
Survivor, if you're listening, you should.
But but like, they do offer, like, it'll be like chocolate chip cookies, and the faces of these people because they're like starved. They're
mm-hmm.
so
they've been surviving on a bowl
like,
of
oh
rice.
My God, chocolate chip cookies! Like,
I'd be the same way.
They're so excited.
The things I'd do for a 4 for $4 after 30 days on an island.
I just don't get why people want to go on that show, because you can tell how much the contestants are like suffering.
Well, it's a chance at $1 million, but it's also like, it's kind of a transformative process too. It's quite interesting. Like, the way you see the first episode, when you see these people, you're like, oh, wow, these people are, I don't like them, or they're weird. And as they play this game, or they last, they completely transform, like, who they are. It's like you're living 30 days without, like, being able to trust anyone. And you're eating a bowl of rice a day, and you're have you're no starving. Shelter, and you're getting stormed on, like, constantly.
Like, these people lose, like, 20 to, like, 40 pounds within, yeah, like, exactly. a month.
It's not healthy.
No, it's not healthy at all.
Might be another reason they go on, though. Lose that little baby fat.
Oh, my gosh. They're literally starved, yeah. and they are expected to do, like, physical challenges. They sleep, like, in nature. They're getting, like, poured. Like, the rain is just, like, pouring on them.
Mm-hmm. And all the while, they're and just they're they have sleeping, to lie. Dreaming of four for fours.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. I feel like I probably would go, like, a little...
If you were to do Pray. Any, yeah, if you were to do any, like, TV show, game show thing, I think you'd want to do The Amazing Race.
Yeah, that's what I would pick. Not that that show is, like, easy physically either. That show is quite demanding on you physically because you're constantly flying to different countries, you're constantly jet lagged, you're sleeping on airport floors, you're, like, running with your huge backpack, like, miles.
Mm-hmm. You're driving stick shift on the wrong side of the road, and you've never driven stick shift before.
Yeah. So that show also would be difficult, but at least you're, like, seeing traveling. Cool things, and you're traveling. I think we would be a good, like, pair on it, because you're very good at puzzles.
Yeah.
And
I'm not scared of heights.
I'm not scared of heights.
No, it's true.
And I feel climbing. Like we could do, like, the dancing ones together. Like, anything with memorization, we would probably be pretty good at.
Yeah.
But Jared says no, so.
I don't know if I'd handle being on TV well.
I know, because
they would have to filter a lot. It's just, like, I'm on my best behavior here on these podcasts.
Yeah. I mean, I think, like, when you're sleep deprived and you're in a new country, you're not probably not gonna, like, act your best self. No, so and,
yeah.
It'll be on also, television forever.
Every other thing I say is a movie or TV show reference, and I don't think they have the rights to all of those too. So.
That's very true.
Yeah, it'd be bad.
It would be bad, but also I feel like that show is very competitive to get on, because nowadays they just, like, take,
oh god, yeah, like, we stars. Watched just the start of the last one, and everybody's story was, like, the most incredible story ever. It's like, oh, me and my friend were on a train and we stopped a terrorist. Like,
yeah,
what? You stopped a terrorist?
I know.
There's a movie coming out about it. It's like, okay.
Yeah, we were like, I was like, we could do the angle that we're, like, doctor nurse couple. I was like, that would be unique. And then it was like, we stopped a terrorist. I was like, we're never gonna go on this show.
Yeah, it's.
I was like, trying to market
crazy us. Amount of, like, stories they have for how people got on there.
Yeah, I think it used to be normal, like, everyday people.
It's less and less about, you know, what the talent and what it is. It's about the story. And, you know, same thing with American Idol, things like that, you know?
Oh my gosh.
You can't win unless you got a good story.
You can't. You gotta have a good story that people can fall in love with.
Getting into med school, you know? Gotta have a good story.
Oh my gosh, are you gonna promote my personal statement course right now?
I was on my way there, actually. Gotta have a good story. Gotta be able to write it well, you know?
For an ad by Jarrett.
Need help writing your personal statement? I sure did. You know, it's just so hard to have an original story written in my own words, you know, that convinces medical schools that I should be a student there. What can I do? Introducing Kelly's new wonderful...
It's not new.
Well...
It's been out for months.
Sammy, I knew that. Sammy knew. I stay up to date on things. Don't listen to the last one either, because I also didn't know something there.
Oh my gosh.
Personal statement course. It's wonderful.
You didn't say where to find it.
You can find it on heykellyellen.com.
There you go.
Or her Instagram.
I don't even pay him to do this. This is just...
I'm being yelled against my will. Oh,
oh my gosh. Now no one's going to buy it.
I'll buy it.
No, actually, I've had like a lot more customers than I expected.
Yeah. Jarrett has just gone into buying a house with Kelly, who has zero income and a bunch of debt. Buy it so you can help him.
I have some income through my social media, and then I'll start to get income as a resident. Actually, psych residents moonlight a lot.
Well, there you go.
Like, their third and fourth year, because our schedules are, like, not too bad. So then you can moonlight. And moonlight is basically when you, like, work extra.
At a separate
Job. It could be at the same location, actually.
Yeah. Wow.
And you get paid, like, 4 to 5 times the amount you normally get paid for the same work.
Yeah.
So a lot of residents do it to, you know, get, like, make more money, obviously, and then also to enhance their skills as like an attending, kind of like on their own, mm-hmm. like pretend to be an attending, kind of.
Yeah, so. That's good. I mean, all the work of attending with none of the pay, so.
Yeah, well, you get
closer to the pay.
Pay, yeah, exactly. Honestly, travel nursing seems like a good gig, though. Like, I've seen it on TikTok. Yeah, until states
try to put limits on how much you can pay travel nurses, which is complete and utter bullcrap.
Yeah, well,
you know,
I'm not surprised that they would do that.
They're the only nurses that are getting paid what they're worth, you know, so.
Yeah,
that's exactly. Why you go to a hospital and you go to the ICU and you're like, oh, there's only one nurse here that actually works here. The rest are travel nurses. Great. I've seen that before. It's not great. I mean, our healthcare system's definitely got a bunch of issues, but travel nurses are at least paid what they deserve.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like a good gig for, like, young people, too, because
if you got nothing tying you have, down.
No kids, and...
And you get to see different places, mm-hmm. and, you know, a lot of times you don't have to pay for your own, like, cost, like, your rent, which is usually 20-25% or less, if you listen to the last podcast, of your income.
He's
you know.
Plugging the last podcast.
Go it was listen. A good one. We talked about money.
He did.
I sang the Apprentice theme.
Unfortunately, he did.
I thought it was great.
Okay.
At least I didn't start going into a Trump impression, you know, so.
Okay, we're going to have to.
You're fired.
Oh, no.
Huge.
Oh, no.
I'm going into it.
We're going to have to edit this part out. We are politically neutral on this podcast. Anyways.
We're politically neutral. We're the most neutral. Nobody's more neutral than us.
Okay. Jarrett loves to do impressions. And his Trump one is actually pretty good.
It's not bad, yeah.
Yeah.
Needs work.
Yeah.
They all do. Well, I just enjoy doing them because they're fun.
They're not your...
I don't get paid to do them, so...
Either, but I think
they're no side hustle.
They're pretty good for your just... I can't do impressions. I remember when I was at UCLA, I was interviewing to be like a camp counselor, which like you would think wouldn't be like a stressful interview. And they were like, can you do an accent or impression? I can't.
I'd kill a summer camp.
I can't. I was like, I could do a British accent, and I did a British one, and I didn't get the job. They hated it. They hated it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I can't do impressions and accents. I can really only do British. Like, I can't do Irish or Australian.
British is like the one I can't do. I can do everything else.
That's the easiest one.
It always ends up going kind of Cockney and Australian a little bit, so.
Yeah.
They blend.
They do. Yeah. I feel like
where are you going with that? You didn't have a thought there. Okay. No accents, but, you know, I've got Australian, Irish, Scottish. I can do Yoda pretty well. I do Emperor Palpatine, if you're a Star Wars fan as well. Arnold Schwarzenegger, I can do at least his yell.
So leave your...
Leave your requests.
Leave a review of the podcast.
Yeah, you heard my SpongeBob reference earlier where I was doing the accent of the old dead dying fish woman mm-hmm. who was buying chocolate.
Leave a 5-star review.
5 stars.
And put in the comment what impression you want Jarrett to do.
Even if one of mine can't, I'll try it. Yeah, we'll do it.
We'll pick some.
I love one of my favorite games actually is from Target. and it's Utter Nonsense is what it's called. And it's basically like Cards Against Humanity, but with accents. So you get these ridiculous phrases in your hand, and then you draw the card in the center, and it's an accent. And whoever draws the card's like judging, and then you lay down one of your cards and say it in that accent. And the funniest one wins. It's fantastic. Never laughed harder playing a game.
You like that game because you always win.
I don't always win. I lose to Nate. My best friend, Nate, is great at accents.
I'm not. See, your friends are good at accents.
And sometimes you just lose because the person's so terrible at an accent that hearing them attempt the accent is funnier than anything else anybody else said.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just fun.
Sponsored. It's all good fun. We're sponsored by Utter Nonsense. We're not.
No, we're not.
But if you're listening...
You could sponsor us.
You could sponsor us. And we will accept it.
Mm-hmm. We did an ad using that game, I think, previously in your Instagram.
Yeah.
Did we? Yeah, we did.
That was so long ago, though.
It was quite a while ago. I don't remember what the ad was for, but we did.
What we did it for.
Those things you could buy on Amazon. You have Amazon Prime.
Oh, yeah. That was, like, one of my first
sponsorships. The first Amazon Prime sponsorship, I think it was, that we did that for.
I was so creative back then.
Yeah.
I was so excited.
It was fun.
I got to bring that back.
We should. I like being sponsored by Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
You hear that, Amazon Prime?
Yeah. I think Amazon Prime's definitely listening.
They're the best.
To our podcast.
I would never, you know, shop anywhere else. Everything on Amazon.
Wow. See? He's already selling it for you.
I love Jeff Bezos.
Okay. First Trump, okay. Now Jeff Bezos. Oh my goodness.
No, Money Talk was last podcast.
Yeah, you're right.
So
now we're focused.
We're very focused.
We didn't have a theme.
We didn't have a theme for this one. A lot of times we like to go in with some kind of theme and couldn't find one. So I'm just like, we'll just wing it. Pretty well. I mean, we ended up getting the Survivor 4 for 4. That's pretty great.
You're proud of that one?
I thought it was hilarious.
Give us feedback. Did you like
only
the 4 for 4?
Only positive feedback, please. Don't hurt my feelings.
Did you like it, or?
There's a reason I'm not on social media. I can't handle it.
I honestly can't handle it either.
I don't know how you do it.
I honestly haven't gotten, like, any huge hate.
Oh, that's nice.
Sometimes, okay, TikTok, TikTok you're always going to get hate, but it's never, like, it's always just, like, people who, like, are just, like keyboard warriors are just like typing hateful things, and it's like
trolls,
yeah, like honestly most of them are like 12-year-old boys. You're like, they're like, you can never be a doctor. I'm like, okay. Okay, just move on.
We're just everyday couple trying to make it here, and we're doing Instagram, and you know, I don't need your hate.
Yeah,
don't be nice to me.
Just be nice.
You can be mean to her, but like,
wait,
me,
what? Don't be mean to me. I'll cry. But on Instagram,
y'all nice.
Haven't really gotten any
better.
Big hate, which is really nice because I feel like everyone is very supportive.
Yeah, good followers.
I have a really good community, and our podcast is going to be
even
better
because I'm involved more.
Who wants Jarrett to be more involved in my Instagram? Raise your hand.
Nobody.
Everyone's
their hand.
Raising their hands.
There's no one raising their
hand.
Oh
my gosh. Okay. It's decided. Who wants Jarrett to do some dances with me on my social media? We did a Halloween dance once, and honestly,
we
killed it.
Pretty awesome. We had to tape a lot of glow sticks to ourselves.
And it turned
out. I used a whole roll of tape.
Really, really cute. We did. We
it was a whole roll of tape.
Okay, if you're an environmentalist listening, I'm so sorry.
It was green tape.
It was.
It wasn't. Sorry.
It's recyclable. Yeah. So, honestly, I'm bad at dancing, which is why I don't really dance.
I think you're good.
Oh, well, thank you.
I like to dance with you.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
I just
I'm
mean,
very
like,
white. I can't dance.
Choreographed dances, like... Like TikTok dances. Like
yeah, those,
I can't.
Those people are talented.
They're talented. Give them
that. I couldn't do it.
No, me neither.
But I guess we'll call it there.
We did it.
We did. We winged it.
We winged it.
I called it a success.
I think we did a great job.
It's a huge success.
All right.
No greater podcast down the air right now. It's the best. Don't you dare cut me off. I'm still going right now. You got to end it? No, you don't. You just got to keep doing it.
Thank you so much for tuning into the Honest MD podcast. If you enjoyed this episode or learned something new, I want to tell you about three ways you can support the show and keep the Honest MD going. Number one, subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. You literally just have to hit the subscribe button. It's that easy. Number two, take a screenshot of this episode on your phone, sharing what you loved about the episode, and post it to your Instagram stories and tag me at Hey Kelly Ellen. And lastly, number three, leave a review. This is the ultimate way to support the Honest MD. You can write something short and sweet like, I love this show, or something longer about things you have learned or appreciated about this podcast. I am not kidding when I say that I read every review and it means so much to me. The more reviews we have means the higher we rank on the podcast algorithm, which means bigger and better guests and episodes. Thanks so much for listening and see you next week. Thank you.